First, Mr. Tsvangirai, there are reports that you are pushing for constitutional reforms to give you more powers in the party. Is this true?
This is fiction. Every time we go to a Congress, as we are preparing for the October Congress, structures are given an opportunity to look at the Constitution with the intention of reviewing whatever section needs amendment, given our experience. So the process which is taking place is a grassroots-based process. The people are giving inputs to the committee or to the commission that we have set up. The commission or the committee has not even reported to the organs of the party. Once they are through, they will come to the executive, who will examine the report, and we'll send it back to the structures to verify their input before we send it to the National Council and then before we submit it to Congress. So that process is still ongoing. There is no such thing that I want to manipulate the people. After all, I've spent the rest of the almost 35 years of my life in the trade unions and in the party fighting against dictatorship. I am totally loose when people suggest or even suggest that I intend to be a dictator, which I am not.
But some of your top lieutenants are alleging that there are some people who are actually using your name to say this is what Mr. Tsvangirai wants, and therefore it must be done when it comes to constitutional reforms.
Yeah, well, I don't want people who go around masquerading as spokesperson for the president. The president does not change the constitution. The committee does not change the constitution. The committee receives inputs from provinces and from grassroots as to what constitutional amendments are needed. Given our history, we have to deal with a lot of things.
But you have previously expressed a personal desire to have the constitution amended. Is this not where maybe this talk about you wanting more power is coming from?
Mm-hmm. Suppose Tsvangirai tomorrow is found dead. What does that got to do with my desires? Constitutions are meant to deal with the dangers of the future, not with the angels of today. And I've said, yes, we need to relook at our constitution given our experiences. And as far as my expressions were concerned, I never directed anyone to change anything other than the people making suggestions what changes are necessary. And we are not self-serving in a constitutional reform. We are serving the people, and we are serving the party.
Let's turn to your preparations for the Congress. How far have you gone?
I think all the party committees that have to do with the Congress preparations are in full swing. I think the organs, the structures, some have finished their branches. They are now going to their wards, and I'm hoping that in mid September, we should finish our districts. End of September, we finish our provinces. And so we have 1 month then to then do the final preparations for the Congress toward the end of October. So we are on course. And like any organizational magnitude of this nature, it requires resources, meticulous planning, and organization.
Talking about resources, have you raised enough money to hold a successful Congress?
No, we haven't. But we are trying to adjust, to give the priorities to transport, accommodation, and party organization Congress that will be taking place over the 2 days, 3 days. There will never be enough money for Congresses. I mean, if we were to take ZANU-PF Congress, you saw the chaos that took place in just one of the youth Congresses. So Congresses are a very resource-consuming exercise, and we try to minimize, to maximize the little resources we have got.
Do you now have a budget, say, for how much you would need for this Congress?
That's detail. I'm sure that the people who are working on that Congress will be able to give a budget, but it's quite substantial.
Normally, the government is constitutionally obligated to give political parties like the MDC some money under the Political Finance Act. What is happening with that money?
Nothing has been released yet. I think to MDC and ZANU-PF, I'm hoping that this is not a political maneuver to try to curtail our activities, but we are entitled that money, and when it is released to all the political parties that are represented in Parliament, we'll get our share.
Have you tried to communicate with the Minister of Finance about this issue?
Yes, yes. The communicate is actually a mild word. We have been trying to pressurize government to release this money.
How much are you expecting?
That's detail. But it's, I think last year outstanding is about 3 million, and this year I think another 3 million. But it's just a rough estimate. But it should be calculated on the representation in Parliament, because we have different representations. Last year we had different parliamentary delegations. This year we have, so it also goes consumer commensurate with the number of MPs we've got.
Now, what is the way forward for Zimbabwe, Mr. Tsvangirai, now that you have said you have shut the door when it comes to dialogue with the ruling ZANU-PF party?
Well, we unfortunately, it's not us who have shut the door. It's ZANU-PF which has spent the hand dialogue. So as MDC, we are saying that we cannot help those who don't want to be helped. If ZANU-PF thinks it has the mandate to resolve the national crisis, you can go ahead. We will concentrate in mobilizing our people, mobilizing our structures, educating our structures, dealing with questions of electoral reforms so that in the next election we're able to contest that election in a free and fair manner.
Can we confirm that your party will not be taking part in any by-elections till reforms are made?
We have already made that statement that it's no use going into by-elections when you know they're going to be rigged. It is a perpetuation of the same culture, the abuse of the voters' role, the abuse of the electoral management system, and the result will confirm to ZANU-PF they actually won when they have not. So we have taken a decision that we will not participate in any by-election until such time that we are satisfied that the rules of the game are equitable.
But are you confident that there will be major reforms before the 2018 election? If yes, who can nudge Mr. Mugabe to change now that he is also the SADC chairperson?
If President Mugabe and ZANU-PF think that they can go to the 2018 election under the same conditions, I think they have to realize that they will still be covered by the same illegitimacy and condemnation that has characterized the 2018 election. We need all the necessary reforms for to have a credible election. And if it is going to be a permanent contestation about reforms, let it be. Even if Mr. Mugabe is chair of SADC, Mr. Mugabe is chair of SADC, he is not SADC. Obviously, he is taking advantage of the chairmanship, but 2018 is not. He will not be chair of SADC.
So what happens if come 2018 there are no reforms because ZANU-PF seems to be saying it has done enough?
Well, as far as we are concerned, it's a permanent stalemate and a political paralysis. Whether that is going to resolve the Zimbabwean crisis is another matter. But what I can tell you is that those who continue to rig the election have a limit. And we say that they may have rigged the last one, but any rigging machinery has its limit. If we are going to have a legitimate outcome, a legitimate election, by 2018, we would have worked those areas that are needed to be put in place before an election is conducted.
Mr. Mugabe was recently in China, and he said Beijing has promised to help Zimbabwe resuscitate its economy. What is your take on this Look East policy?
There's nothing wrong in having bilateral relations with China. But there is everything wrong to try to raise people's hopes on a false assumption that China is going to rescue this country. There are so many imponderables regarding Chinese investment in this country. They're actually leaving Zimbabwe. Immediately after the election, $1 billion of Chinese revenue, US dollars, was spirited out of the country. I recently read that there were projects signed. Those projects are not going to mature in a year or two or three. Those are long-term projects. And what we are looking is not long-term projects. We are looking for immediate infusion of U.S. dollars, foreign direct investment, whether Chinese, American, Indian, whatever. That is not forthcoming, and that is what we need.
Now, let's turn to ZANU-PF. Do you want to comment on the factionalism in ZANU-PF and its impact
on the national economy? Well, I can only comment the absurdity of people fighting while Rome is burning. The absurdity of ZANU-PF fighting amongst themselves when the country is on its knees and it's burning. Who doesn't know that even across the political divide, the national grievances cut across political divide? And that is the crisis that ZANU-PF has to deal with, not who gets to what power and what position. I think the fight for position in ZANU-PF is almost ridiculous level, especially if people are in a position of being our government, the government that is supposed to run the affairs of the nation.
But your critics are also saying you are missing a golden opportunity to show leadership at this time because you are also focusing internally on your own Congress and also this split with MITI.
We are not the government. We are not the party government. We are preparing to be a government as an alternative to ZANU-PF. So our problem does not affect the national process. Our problem affects MDC. We don't have the burden of so-called national leadership in terms of the crisis we face. The crisis we face is one caused by ZANU. They have to take the leadership to resolve that crisis. We are the opposition, and I think to try to say that we are not taking advantage of the crisis in ZANU, I think it's totally inappropriate. Yes, we also have to move to put our house in order, and that's what we need to plan for the next government.
There is a crisis in Lesotho at the moment after an alleged military coup. How best can it be addressed? And is it not ironic that there is also a government of national unity in Maseru?
The problem of Lesotho is a perennial one. I don't know the cause, the real cause of this military intervention from time to time. But coups are an old-fashioned way of resolving political crises in the nation. They actually create a further crisis of confidence in the country. So I don't think it's fashionable now to talk of coups. The illegitimate government that was elected must be restored. The responsibility of SADC to deal with it. But it's a very sad that even with a government of national unity, you still have people who believe that that government of national unity has not served the national interest. So I think this is what SADC has to address.
Lastly, your wife has expressed fears for her safety. What is happening? She says there are some people who are following her.
Well, she has been under jail for some time, and I think that was the raised her alarm. It's not fair to feel unsafe in your own country. Of course, we in the political world, may withstand some of these pressures, may ignore some of these pressures, but for somebody who is not experienced, it becomes a very frightening experience. But I hope that it was a temporary incident and that come to pass. I encourage her to be courageous and to go on with her business without having to look back on her back to find out who was following.